We're rolling pretty okay. Can you hear me all right? I feel like I'm straining a little bit. Can you give me the monitors are on. I don't know if you want them on. Test. Am I okay? Okay. Let's pray. Father, you've already worked in our midst. You've touched lives already and ministered to each and every one of us. And Father, we just ask you to minister now through the Word. Father, plant good seed into our hearts and let it produce fruit. Let it produce much fruit, Father. We ask you to show us things that will help us and change us. Renew our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say, amen. Amen. So be it. Want to tonight conclude the series that we've been doing over the past several months, Why Prayers Sometimes Go Unanswered. I want you to open your Bibles to Job chapter 42. And I'm going ahead and tell you that so you can find Job chapter 42. And I'll be there in a few minutes. This is the eighth message that we've done on this. I think that's enough. I've preached eight different messages about why prayers can be unanswered. I think that we've seen the principle. I think it's enough. It surely isn't the only reasons that the Lord gives, but I think that we've seen that there are things that can be going on in our lives. There are responses that we can be doing that can cause our prayer life to be null and void. I believe we've shown that, and I believe it's time to terminate this series and go on to some more things. But before we begin tonight, I want to do what I always do before I start preaching about why prayers sometimes go unanswered, and let you know and make sure you know and make sure that you know that I know, that I know and you know, that the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to ask God for things. I know that Matthew chapter 7 and Luke 11 says, ask and it shall be given you. Matthew 7:11 says, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Luke 11:13, he will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. John 14:13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I've got more written down here, and we could even list more and more that show us that the Bible teaches us to pray and to ask God for things. So that's not what we're coming against here. We're not trying to discourage prayer. On the other side, we're trying to encourage prayer in that our prayer lives will be more productive. That our prayer lives will be productive because we find things in our life and make the proper adjustments so that our prayer lives will be more productive. So it's not to discourage prayer. It's to encourage prayer. Tonight, I want to talk about the eighth thing that I want to put into this series of messages. The eighth reason that I'm going to list is why prayers sometimes go unanswered is when we do not pray for our Job friends. Is when we don't pray for our Job friends. Or, second part of the message, this is kind of a two-in-one deal. When we become critical of Job. When we become critical of Job. First of all, what is a Job friend? A Job friend is a critic. He's a self-appointed judge that criticizes your life. In Job's particular situation, Job had been sick. Things had come upon Job, and these friends of Job came to him and criticized him. They nitpicked. They were critiquing him. They found everything that Job had done wrong. What is a Job? A Job is somebody that's going through a test or going through a trial. Somebody that really loves God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But yet sometimes things just don't go right. That's a Job. And I think that we'll find, if we'll look at ourselves, that we'll find ourselves in one of those two places or probably both. There are times when we're critical. And there are times when we're going through tests and trials. and people persecute and criticize us. So I think that we can locate ourselves on both sides of this message that I want to bring tonight. Now, I trust that you're familiar with the book of Job. I trust you've read it. It's not one of your favorite books, I know. It's not one you lay down in the bed and read at night. But I hope that you're familiar with it enough that you know what's happening in the book of Job, because we're going to read most of the 42nd chapter. You remember that in the first chapter of the book of Job, first of all, it talks about Job a little bit. Then it starts telling us that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. And the Lord God said to Satan, "Satan, what have you been up to?" And he says, "Oh, I've been going in and out of the earth." In New Testament vernacular, it would be, "I've been walking about seeking whom I may devour." And he says, the Lord God said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" The Lord God said that. Have you considered trying or testing my servant Job? And Satan says, "Well, I can't, because you've got a hedge about him, and I can't get to him." Now, there's a whole lot of teaching in here, and I can't get into that. And he says, "But if you will take down that hedge and you will let me touch what he owns, if you will let me touch what you've prospered him in, he'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Okay, you can do that. You can do everything but touch his body." Now, this is in Job chapter 1, and you need to read it if you're not familiar with what I'm telling you. So Satan goes, and he does just exactly that. He attacks his family. He goes and he attacks his finances. He wipes out everything that Job has or had. He gets his family. He calls all sorts of problems. And the end of chapter 1 ends like this. Job's wife comes to him. She's really nice. Good for Job. And she's talking to him, and she said, he says this, he said, "Naked I came into the world, naked I'll go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he didn't curse God with his lips. Then chapter 2 begins, and it's a very close similarity between it and chapter 1. It says that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. And the Lord said, "Satan, what have you been up to?" And Satan says, "I've been going in and out of the earth." And God says, "Have you tried my servant Job?" And Satan says, "If you let me touch his body, he'll curse you to your face." What did the Lord say? "Touch him and do anything, but can't touch his life." Now, there is so much here, folks. There is. If you hear what I'm saying, Satan can't touch your finances unless God lets him. Satan can't touch your body unless God lets him. And Satan cannot kill you. All that's in there. Now, that's not what I'm teaching. That's just there. So he goes, and he attacks Job, and you read the story. He smote his body with disease. He had boils all over his body. And in the fourth chapter, I think it is, or third chapter, if you read that, it'll tell you that his friends came to Job and they couldn't even recognize him. That's how bad he looked. He was in such pain that he had to lay in ashes. Now, what this would be a big box full of ashes, because it was the softest thing they could find, with a sheet across it, and Job would lay down in that so that it would be soft. The Bible talks about him taking a potsherd, which is a piece of pottery, and scraping the scabs off of his sores. This is the situation that Job had gotten into. Now, so Satan comes the first time, then he comes the second time, and now here comes Job's lovely wife. And said, "Job, you're a mess." Said, "Our finances are messed up. Our family's messed up, destroyed. And look at you." You know what Job said? "So you talk like a foolish woman." "You talk like a foolish woman." Said this, and I wrote it down because I didn't want to misquote it. "You talk like a foolish woman. Shall we accept from God the good and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. See, the whole thing that Satan and God were having this little thing about was to get Job to curse God, which he never did. So here comes his wife, his lovely wife. And then after his wife, here comes his lovely friends. Job has some wonderful friends. Have you got some Job friends? Got some Job friends. Now Job's friends came, and they came to Job, and they were really nice fellas. And their names was, here we go, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu. These were Job's friends. And now here's Job, and he's sick, and here comes his friends, and they begin to critique him. They begin to check him out. They begin to criticize him in every area of life. They look at Job. They're self-appointed judges. They're critics. They're very critical. They're condemning. They come and every time they get together, they're talking about Job's faults. Every time. They never talk about the good points of Job. They get together every time, and this goes on for a while, and every time they get together, they're critiquing Job. They talk about Job's past. They talk about Job's giving to the poor. They talk about how Job gives to widows. They talk about how Job handled his family. They talked about his theology. They talked about his worship. They talked about Job. Anything they could talk about, anything you can imagine talking about somebody about, Job's friends talked about it. And then I want to read now in the last chapter of the book of Job, chapter 42, beginning at verse 47. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, the Temanite,
I don't have a 47.
42? You got a 42? 42.7. What am I? Is my battery going out? My light's on. 42. Cut me off a second. Job 42:7. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has." And you might want to notice here, there'll be four times that the Lord God calls Job his servant. My servant Job. He says that. He says, you haven't done right, and you've not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Verse 8. "Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you, for I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly." I want to read that one more time. He says, "I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naphtalite went and did as the Lord told them. And the Lord accepted Job. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they counseled him and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he named the first one Hard Name. And the second one he named a Hard Name. And the third one he named a Harder Name. And in all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations, and Job died an old man and full of days. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is why prayers go unanswered. I want to talk about
First of all, I want to talk about Job's critics. I want to talk about criticizing people. I want to talk about if you criticize people, I want us to understand that your prayers aren't accepted. That to get your prayers accepted, if you continue in your criticism, you're going to have to go to the very person that you criticized and get them to pray for you so that God will accept you and not work to you what you did for your folly. Secondly, I want to talk about Job. And that when Job went and prayed for those critics, that God accepted him. And if you're bitter and mad at your friends like you have that are like Job's friends, then your prayers aren't being accepted. And those are the two avenues that I want to look at tonight. You got to remember now, Job had been down and depressed, and all these guys had jumped on him and had attacked him and talked about all of his failures. But at the end of the book, at the end of the story that we read here about Job, you tell me, who was God's wrath against? Was it against Job, or was it against Job's friends? It's against Job's friends. Now that's important to understand. God used Job, but God's wrath was against Job's critics. And we've got to understand that when we get critical of people, when we get critical of the body of Christ, when we get critical of pastors or preachers or elders or members of the body, when we get critical of people, we've got to understand there's a folly that's working against us. And we're doing these things, we say we're doing it in the name of the love, but most of the time we're doing it just to be critical. Somebody once said, well, I'm using positive criticism. There is no such thing. There's no such thing. All we do when we criticize is take a taller man than we are and try to cut his legs off so he'll be short like we are. Rather than ascending to where he's at, we want to bring him down to where we are. And that's what criticism is all about. Now what we're finding here is that these guys had to do two basic things. They had to do two basic things to be accepted of the Lord, to have their prayers accepted. First of all, they had to offer up 7 rams and 7 bulls. Aren't you glad things have changed a little bit? Now, what this would be is they would go to the altar and they would have to offer these 7 animals, 14 animals up. Now, how many knows that would take a time? That would take some time. And there would be a lot of people that would come by the altar. There would be a lot of people that would pass by. And they would say, why are you offering all these animals up? And they would have to tell each one, I was critical of Job. It was more of a public confession, just like our sister did over here. It was a public confession. That's what God is really saying. Sometimes it takes a public confession. But the main thing that we need to see is that he had to go to Job. Each one of them had to go to Job and say, Job, I've been critical of you. I want you to forgive me. And I want you to pray for me. Now, when we're critical of people, we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that eventually, because... And I could use so many scriptures here talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness and how it works in our life and the tormentors come. And we all know these things, so I'm not going to have to spend a whole lot of time here. But we all know that until we make that thing right, that there's going to be unforgiveness, there's going to be things happening in our lives that just aren't going to be well. Now, they had to do two things. They had to go first and offer their sacrifices, then they had to go and get Job to pray for them. And then it said that God would accept Job's prayer, but not the critics. Now look what it says there. I want to read it again. It's in verse 8. Now therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves and my servant Job. And my servant Job will pray for you. And here's what I want. For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly. Now, there are times in our lives when we've got to go to people and say, forgive me. And if you're critical of folks, you've got to understand it's really not hurting them. Who's it hurting? It's hurting the critics. Because God is just not going to bless you. God is going to bring the folly back on you. And I can say some things now because as far as I know, and as far as I'm aware of, nobody's being critical of me right now. I'm probably the most loved I've been in 5 years. And I can say some things now without worrying that I'm offending somebody. But folks, I really want you to know, I don't believe anybody has been more critiqued, more criticized, more persecuted in this church than me. And I've had to live with it. Knowing that it's going on, knowing who's doing it. And people think they can criticize me and I won't find out. That's not true. People can't wait till you leave to call me and say, somebody was just over here criticizing you. And I've lived with this for 5 years. And it works something into your life. It works a thing into your life. And I can understand how Job felt. You know, Job had been criticized by these guys. And you gotta guard yourself, and you gotta be careful that you don't get critical of people. You don't criticize the body of Christ. You just don't work in that sphere. You don't live in that realm. When people come to your house and you find yourself in a critical conversation, you need to terminate it. Somehow or the other, you need, when the Holy Spirit quickens it to you, and He will, and you know that He does, when you get critical about people, the Holy Spirit will quicken it to you, and you will all of a sudden say, I need to terminate this conversation. And right then, you've got two options. You can or you can't. You can continue on in it and work in your folly, and it's working evil for you. Or you can terminate that thing, and it'll work good for you. First thing we got to understand about what I'm trying to minister to us tonight is you can't be critical. If you're critical of people, God will not accept from you. Second thing, and you say, well, I'm glad I'm not one of these critics. I'm Job. I'm Job. But I want you to see in verse 9 that this works on both sides. Verse 9. So Eliphaz and Zophar and Bildad, I can say those three, went and did as the Lord told them, which is go to Job and offer the sacrifice, and go to Job and say, I've been critical of me, I want you to pray for me. So they did as the Lord had told them, and the Lord accepted Job. When did the Lord accept Job's prayer? When he prayed for those old friends. And if you have unforgiveness in your life, and Job had a hard time with these guys, man, there are 41 chapters of these guys. And they're critiquing him. They're criticizing everything about him. Job can't do anything right. His theology is wrong according to them. His worship's wrong according to them. What he does with his money is wrong according to them. The way he's raised his family is wrong according to them. And they have criticized him. And Job has probably worked up a little bitterness and resentment. He probably doesn't like to see these friends coming. And Job's thing was accepted. Job was accepted when he prayed for those friends. And you got to understand that. You got to understand that same principle. You got to work that into your life so that you can continuously live in an atmosphere of forgiveness, in an atmosphere of praying for people. Jesus told us when He taught us how to pray. He says, pray this way. And you know what He says. And then He gets down and He says, and pray, forgive us, or forgive me. That's the way I forgive me, even as what? I forgive those that have trespassed or sinned against me. Those that have been critical of me. Those that have persecuted me. Father, I understand. That's what we're praying. Father, I understand that my forgiveness hinges on how I forgive others. And when people are critical of you, when people are critiquing you, and it seems that you can't do anything to please these people, you've got to learn to pray for them. You've got to learn that you can pray for them, and it won't work a folly on them, and it won't work a folly on you. That God will accept you then when you pray for these people. And then in verse 10, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when? When? When he prayed for these friends. A lot of us are going through a lot of financial troubles now. I hear more financial problems right now than I've heard in a good while. I'm just suggesting things. You need to look and see if there's some bitterness in you. You need to look and see if there's not somebody you need to pray for. If somebody hasn't critiqued you and hurt you and wounded you, there's not somebody in your life that you can pray for. Because it could just be why your fortunes haven't been multiplying. They have some bitterness in there. So it says that Job was blessed. Job's fortunes was blessed. When he prayed for these guys. Now, I think all of us could probably find something that we could find a position of Job or a position of the critics about our lives. And as I was getting ready for this, you know, I just thought of a few people that have probably been criticized. And just, you know, Randy, I believe you was probably criticized when you packed up your family and belongings and moved down here. And I believe you was criticized for that. And I believe, you know, that you handled it well. You know? And I just believe that all of us, I remember praying for Terry and Donna at the hospital. And walked in, and Donna kind of wanted to know what I was going to pray over Terry. She said, I've had enough of Job's friends coming by and praying for him. And you know, you don't understand that because here's Terry going through this time, and all Job's friends are coming by trying to critique him and say, man, if you'll do this, and if you'll, and you don't need that, do you? When you're going through a hard time, you don't tell people. You don't need people to come and tell you what you're doing wrong. You need people to help you, you know, and get you through the thing. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what you're doing wrong. So I just believe that we can all relate to this. But the Lord accepted Job when he prayed for the people, and the Lord accepted those people when Job prayed for him. And you need to understand, you can't be critical. Now, what I want to show you right quick like is there are seven basic blessings that happened when you pray for Job's friends. When you pray for your Job friends, you'll find there are seven basic blessings right here that happens. Right here that happens. First of all, Job was healed. How many of you need healing in your bodies? Show me your hands. Healing in your bodies. Look and see if you don't have some Job friends. Look and see if there's not somebody that you can go to and say, hey, I want to pray for you. Now that sounds strange because, you know, when you're sick, you think that you ought to be getting prayed for. But Job got healed when? When he prayed for them. And if you need healing in your body, I really suggest that you see if maybe you don't have a Job friend hidden back there in the closet somewhere that you really haven't forgiven. That you really haven't prayed over and blessed him or her. You haven't ministered to them. Maybe you might need to go and take care of that. The second thing, well, how did that happen? Now, healing came how? How did that healing come? When you pray, the healing will come to you, as I'm trying to project it here, when you pray for your Job friends. Let's all say that together. By praying for my Job friends. Say that with me. By praying for my Job friends. One more time. By praying for my Job friends. Because I want us to respond in that way after each one of these seven. The second thing, he increased all Job had twofold. How many of you would like a double blessing? You'd like twice as much prosperity as you ever had at your highest point in your life. Is there anybody that wouldn't? Let me just ask it that way. Say, we would all like that blessing. Well, again, how did it come? How did he get this one? By praying for my Job friends. And that's the way it'll come to you. We need to understand that prosperity will come to us, that if we'll make sure that we are right with God, that we're being accepted, that we have forgiven others the way we want God to forgive us. How am I projecting this now? What do we need to do in this message, in this particular time of teaching? What do we do to get a twofold type of a blessing? By praying for my Job friends. Everybody, by praying for my Job friends. The third thing, his family and his acquaintances were restored. Don't know what happened. Evidently, there were some things that Job went through. The people ran off. Job was a very wealthy man before the enemy struck him. Very wealthy. Very wealthy. When this happened, evidently, all of his friends and his family split on him. Didn't like Job anymore. So evidently, there were some divisions that had happened in the families. And I know, and also I suspect, that in our families, in your personal families, in your blood families, that there are some divisions. There are some relatives that are separated from you. There are some things that are separate. There are some acquaintances. There are some good friends that something's happened and has separated you from these friends. And what I'm trying to project to you right now is you need to understand that one of the ways that this can be restored is by praying for my Job friends. Let's say it. By praying for my Job friends. And another thing is we need to understand here that we need to terminate these things. We all understand, I think, family feuds, don't we? It goes from generation to the Hatfields and the McCoys, went from generations to generations. And what you do when you develop these things with your relatives is you pass this on to your next generation unless you'll fix it. See, in the blood of Jesus, these things can be fixed. These things can be terminated. I'm going to touch that in just a second. When we're bringing in our offering, and I'm going to talk to you about this, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when we bring our offering to the altar and we come before Him and we make our offerings, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit reminds you of somebody that has an ought against you, or you have an ought against them, It says to stop right there. Lay it down and go fix it. And we need to understand that principle. If we don't fix it, we're going to pass it on to our kids. How do we, in this particular teaching, how do we restore our acquaintances with our family and acquaintances with our friends? By praying for my Job friends. The fifth thing, the fourth thing that we see here. It says his latter days of Job's were more blessed than the beginning days. How many of you would like that? The rest of your life be twice as blessed as you've been blessed so far. Is that all right? Well, the way it happens is by praying for my Job friends. That's the way it's going to happen. If you don't, this would have never activated. This would have never happened had Job never prayed for those old friends of his. I was in here praying. I'll take a break right here from this when I finish those up. I was in here praying Friday morning. And I was praying east, west, north, and south. And the Lord quickened me. I said, Dale, you pray a lot to the east, west, north, and south. But what you really need to pray for is the people that we've got. You need to pray for their faithfulness. You need to pray that the people that are already here, that they'll be faithful. That's God. So Debbie Weed's been working on the directories for me. And so I had a copy of our old directory back there in the office. So I went back and I got one. And I came back out here and I began going down the list. And I prayed for everybody that's on that directory. And as I was going through that old directory, there were many people there that had critiqued me, been very critical of me. And I began to pray for those people and just to bless them. And as I was praying for these people and blessing them, the Holy Spirit says, you really need to give them a call on the telephone. I said, do what? So I said, well, okay. So I had to pray through that one. I had to make sure that was God, you see. Because really, and I'm serious, in that, not that I didn't want to. I really did want to. But I don't want to offend them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to do anything to hurt anybody. And so I prayed a while about that one, and I satisfied myself that it was the Lord. And so I went and I called these people. And I called them and I just told them. I said, hey, I was praying for you. And I just felt like I needed to call you and just wish you a happy Thanksgiving and see how you were doing. And every one of them had such a positive response to me. Every single one of them acted like they, and I believe they really did. They really enjoyed hearing my voice and enjoyed talking to me. And you see, that's what that'll do, is it'll breach those things where the enemy has come in there and caused problems. And when you pray for people, then it gets you in a right attitude where you want this thing fixed. You don't want there to be any problems between anybody. And so I did that. And I felt so good. I felt so good after I'd done that. And I just really felt good. And the thing I was praying about, the thing I was having problems with, and the Lord really, really quickened it to me, is that I just needed to humble myself and call them and love them. And it's a difficult thing to do, isn't it, sometimes, to humble yourself? And so I humbled myself and I went and I called them. And I felt very good. I felt very, very, very good about that after it was over with. And I just felt like the Lord had done something between us. Now, the latter days of Job was more blessed than the beginning days. The fifth thing I see is he had wonderful sons and daughters. He had a wonderful family. He had a wonderful family. Wouldn't you like to have a wonderful family? I know you probably do. But don't you want wonderful grandchildren? Don't you want just wonderful family? And again, we need to learn this principle. That if you'll sit around the dinner table critiquing me, critiquing the church, critiquing the brothers or the sisters, or finding somebody that you can criticize and find faults with, and folks, I've got my faults. And our elders have got their faults, and this church has got its faults. We got them, but you're not going to find a perfect church. If you do, please don't go to it. But the thing is that if you sit around doing that, guess what you're going to put in to your kids? They're going to criticize. They're going to be finding fault. They're going to be fault finders rather than blessings. They're going to have that in their life. And I just really, really encourage you to make sure that that's not happening in your home. Now, again, and I always try to say this, you and your wife are going to talk about me. You and your wife are going to talk about this church. You and your wife or your husband, you're going to talk about what's going on here. You're going to. But please don't do it in an open, critical way, and don't do it with other people. I'm not saying don't voice and get things out of you and minister to her and her to you. I'm not saying that at all. And if you have a big problem, come see us and you know, let us help you. But what I am saying is don't get critical. When you get critical, you're not being accepted. You'll have to come to me and say, Pastor, pray for me and forgive me because I want God to accept my prayers. And before this is over, I'm just going to go ahead and forgive every one of you because I don't want any of you coming up to me. I don't want to know who's criticized me. I don't want you coming up here and saying, pray for me. I'm just going to go ahead and do it right now. I forgive every one of you, okay? And I'm not saying don't talk because you will talk. When Judy and I were in the church in Griffin, the pastor didn't do everything I liked. He didn't do everything the way I thought that it should be done. But he was the pastor. The leadership didn't always do the things that I thought should be done, but they were the leadership. And they weren't perfect. They never claimed to be perfect, but they weren't sinning. You didn't hear me, did you? And if they had been sinning, I could have gotten upset with that. Folks, I want to tell you, we have never sinned here. The people that's left here, the people that have had faults and criticized us, it's not because we were sinning. It's just because they didn't like the way we've done some things. And you, how many knows you got 150 people, you're not going to please all 150 people. You can't do it. I wish we could. You just can't do it. So I'm not saying that I expect you never to talk about me or be critical of me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't do it like Job's friend did it. Get around your buddies and your friends and have people over at your house and sit around the table and being critical of the church or critical of the body of Christ. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Even what happened about 2-3 years ago with the major ministries, it's a bad thing when we sit around and talk about those people, and I'm guilty. We sat around, we talked about those guys, and really what was happening is we felt like there was room made at the top or something. You know what I mean? There was the big ones had gone out of the way, so there was more room at the top. It made us look better somehow. Their legs got cut off, so it made us taller. Am I right? And so anyway, what I'm saying is we need to, when we get around the table, we need to make sure that we're not being critical, that we have terminated these things so that our children can go on with the blessings of God. He had wonderful sons and wonderful daughters. The whole earth talked about them. They were imparted good things from Job. Job had prayed for his friends. He had forgiven his friends. His children saw that, and they were good kids. They were just good kids. Now, how, according to this teaching, how am I saying that you'll have a wonderful family, wonderful sons and daughters? By praying for my Job friends. Let's say it, you've forgotten. By praying for my Job friends. They need to see you walk and live in forgiveness. They need to see you walking and living, praying for those that persecute you. They need to see that in your life. The sixth thing, he was able to give an inheritance to his sons and to his daughters. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. How many of you really want to leave an inheritance for your children's children? Don't you? Come on. Sure you do. Because you're good people. You see? A good man does this, and he wants to do this. And God will bless you because you humble yourself and because you work in forgiveness and you function in forgiveness. And this was all activated in Job's life. He was able to do all this because he prayed for his friends. And we're going to be able to do it. Why? Because by praying for my Job friends. You getting this message? I mean, it's understanding you need to pray for your Job friends. Got it? All right. Then the seventh one. He had a long life. He lived 140 years. How many of you want to live a long time? Are you ready to go right now? You know. Already have, is it? We want to live a long time. And you hear me talk about this. You know, we all get saved and we all talk about going to heaven, but I can't find anybody that wants to go on and go. Nobody wants to get a trip up right now. And we want to live a long time on the earth. And this was probably the one that blessed me the most as I listed these and saw these. And as I'm bringing them to you now, this is probably the one that blessed me the most. Not because he lived 140 years. That's all good. That's wonderful. But because he saw his sons and his grandsons for four generations. Can you imagine that? Randy, can you imagine seeing not only Tim and Tim's children, but Tim's children's children and Tim's children's children's children? Can you imagine that? Would that be a blessing? To see what you have left in the earth, the numbers, the multitudes, the nation of people that should be coming forth from your loins. That's wonderful. So that's a blessing to me. We were talking about this just the other night. I was sharing just a little bit of this with Judy and Lance. And I told Lance, I said, everybody knows I want him to hurry up and get married so we can have some grandbabies, but you know, that's the blessing of it, is that I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see what they become. And I want to see my great-grandchildren. But Job was so blessed that he got not only to see his son and his grandsons and his great-great-grandchildren, but he got to see his great-great-great-grandchildren. Is that good, Mark? Would you like to do that? And how, according to this teaching, will we get to do this? By praying for my Job friends. Is it worth it? Folks, is it worth it to go to people and just make sure that we're working forgiveness in our life, that we're walking in forgiveness, that we're constantly praying for those that persecute us? It's worth it, isn't it? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Our prayers are accepted. We're accepted of God. Understand that when people live in a critical way, they are not accepted. Their prayers are just hindered. They'll be praying, but nothing will be happening. And we need to learn too that we're accepted when we pray for those Job friends, when we pray for those folks. We need to work that into our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. You come to church with your sacrifice of praise, your sacrifice of worship, your tithes and offerings, your gifts, your sacrifice of the gifts and ministries that you come. And all of a sudden, you're in the middle of worship or praise, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just quickens to you, somebody's got an ought against you. Now, biblically, what is the biblical thing to do? Stop right there, right? Lay it down. Lay your life down. Lay everything down. Let everything stop right there. And go do what? Go make it right. Go fix it. Go fix it. Go take care of that thing. Go make sure that it's made right. Then come back and offer it. Do you see the vital necessity of making sure that you're walking in unity, that there's no divisions among you, and that we don't have these little rinky-dink schisms that develop in the body of Christ? They're just not eternal. What we're talking about here is eternal. We're talking about blessings. We're talking about eternal things and making sure that our prayers are accepted, that we don't hinder other people's prayers from being accepted. By fixing that thing, then we release not only our prayers, but their prayers to God. Don't you want people blessed? You really don't want people cursed. You really don't want people having hard times and bad times and having trouble with their families and trouble with their finances. Now, you might think that you do, and that's your flesh, but in your spirit, you really don't. You want them blessed. You know it. You want them to prosper. You want them to do well. You want their children to prosper. We need to make sure that if we have an ought, if we have something wrong, we lay it down. It's so vitally important. And we go and make that thing rhyme. Now over in chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them who persecute you. He tells us two things to do to people or to Job's friends. What two things should we do to our Job's friends in that verse? Love them and pray for them. Love them and pray for them. Let's go ahead and get a working definition for love. We've talked about love as a commitment. We've talked about how love is a decision. But what God's love is, and that's what we're talking about here, agape love. How did God love you? Did He try to fix you before He took you? Or did He just accept you just like you are? Just like you are. And that's what He's talking about here. Sure, you got some Job's friends. I got some Job's friends. But if I try to fix them before I accept them, I'm no better than the world. The tax collectors and the Gentiles, we'll read in just a second, do that. The way you love people is just to accept the people just like they are. And then He says you need to pray for them. First, love them, and then pray for them. Not an imprecatory prayer, a blessing prayer. A prayer of blessing. Father, we forgive them. I ask you to bless their life. I ask you to multiply their finances. I ask you to cause them to have help. I ask you, Father, that their children will be obedient and that they will be prosperous. You bless them. You pray for them. Let's go on and read. Working definition of love is accepting people just like they are. Praying for people, blessing them. Verse 45. In order that. Now, why do we love them and why do we pray for them? In order that. Somebody help me. Why? In order that you may be sons. How many want to be like God? Don't you want to be like God? Don't you really want? See, that's the vision of this church, is to be conformed to His image. The way we become like God, the way we become sons of God, the way we become perfect even as He is perfect, is by loving our enemies and praying for our enemies. Loving our Job friends and praying for our Job friends. Now, see if I'm not right. In order that, do this, he says, pray for them and love them so that you can become sons. So that you can become sons of God. So that you can become just like God. His seed in you. And you becoming like Him. In order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? There's no reward in it. That's what he's saying. There's no reward in just loving those that love you. What reward is in it? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more? The Gentiles do the same? I mean, he's understanding now what he's saying. If you just love the people that you want to love, if you just pick out the ones that you like and love them, and you don't pray for your Job friends, and you don't pray for those that don't smell like you, or look like you, or dress like you. You just pick out the ones that you want to love. What different are we than from the world? Should it make a difference that a man's black, or a man's white, or that a man's yellow, or that a man's green? Does it matter? The truth is that we've got to accept them. If we don't, we're no different from the world. And it's time that the church wakes up to that. And there's not any black churches or any white churches or any green churches. It ought to be one church. We all ought to be one, accepting one another just like we are. It makes me mad. I guess you can tell. Hurt my hand. But it makes me angry. Makes me angry that we have the divisions in the body of Christ because people don't think like we think. And their theology is not like ours. That's what Job's friend said, your theology is not like mine, Job. You must have sin in your life. Where was I at? Verse 47. If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same. Therefore, because you love them, just like they are, and because you pray for them, and you bless them, and you want God to bless their lives. Therefore, because of that, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. What will make us perfect? What will make us like God? When we love them, and when we pray for them. When we learn to do what Job did. When we learn to accept people just like people are. Stop trying to pick out the ones we want. Stay away from the ones that we don't want. How perfect can I be?
Perfect as the Father.
Is that a word? But I'll never be as perfect as the Father if I've got to pick and choose who I'll associate with. If I've got to pick and choose who can come to this church. If I can pick and choose who house I'll go to. If I can pick and choose. If I can pick and choose. I'm no different from the world. And God's trying to say something to us tonight. Can you hear Him? Can you hear God? Can you hear what He's saying to us? Why do prayers sometimes go unanswered? Number one, tonight's because we're critical. We get a critical spirit. We start criticizing this one and criticizing that one. And every time we get around people, we start being critical. Your prayers aren't answered. You're going to have to go to Job and you're going to have to say, Job, pray for me. Second one that we looked at tonight, prayers are answered if you won't pray for those who persecute you. You're no different from the world. If you won't love them and you won't pray for them, your prayers aren't answered. Well, somebody say something.
Amen.
Let's stand. We'll make a declaration. love making declarations, particularly after a message like this. We need to say with our mouth, we need to set our rudder that we'll stop being critical. Again, I'm saying, I really don't know of any particular. Of course, I hear these little buzzes every once in a while. But I really don't know of anything that's major right now, people being critical. And that's why I brought this. If I'd known of anything that people are being critical about right now, I wouldn't have done it. But I don't know of any real major things going on right now in our body. But when they start, notice how I said that. When they start, you better know to terminate them. Because it'll hinder your prayers if you don't. Right? And then you need to learn that when people have been critical of you, when they've critiqued you, and I know how to do this. I had to learn how to do it. It wasn't easy. I had to learn how to forgive them and how to bless them. And I keep that artery in my life opened up. Every time I pray, I say, Father, forgive me even as I forgive those who've sinned against me. I make sure that I check out. I let the Holy Spirit remind me, show me of anybody that I have not forgiven. And I make sure that that's worked in my life. And I really believe if you'll do those things, those seven blessings of Job can be on you. Is that good? All right. Let's make a declaration. I want you to repeat after me loud. Father.
Father,
I ask you to help me. Guard my tongue.
When I am critical,
please check me.
And give me courage and ability.
To terminate the conversation.
Please keep me from being critical.
Please keep me from being with critical people.
I set my rudder.
I will not be critical.
Father,
I ask you to help me pray for my Job friends.
Help me pray for those who criticize me.
Help me to be a son of God.
Help me to move toward perfection.
I set my rudder.
I will not.
Hate my brothers.
I will.
Love and pray for those who criticize me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we've declared it with our mouth.